All right, you can be seated today. We are down to 4 minutes between contractions. I'm not going to look at Brittany because she's making some faces, and so I'm going to believe. I was just told to leave her alone. Okay, I'm going to leave her alone. Okay, everybody stand up if you would. I'm a little bit loud. Everybody stand up if you would. I know we are in Thanksgiving week, and I usually don't, but today I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving and kind of a different family type. Personal thing instead of preaching. I'm going to share with you. I read the story years ago of an immigrant family that had moved to America, and they had the boys. They had two boys and a girl, and one of the sons became a CPA and went through college, and then took the exam and became a certified public accountant. And his dad owned a business, and so he went back, and he was a little bit full of himself, But he went back, and his dad was just an immigrant and had come to America with nothing. And he went into his dad's family business, and it was a little business, and said, "Dad, you don't even know how much you're making. I mean, you got your cash receipts over in this drawer. You keep all your cash in the cash register, and you got, you know, your what's owed over here. You don't even know you don't even know how much you've made." And his daddy looked at him and says, "Well, son," he said, "when I came from across the seas," he said, "I had one pair of pants." And he said, "Now your brother's a doctor, you're a CPA, and your sister's an art teacher." Says, "Add it all up and subtract the pants, and that's how much I make." Come on, somebody. Everybody say, "Add it all up." 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." Job said it this way in the book of Job. Says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" So today's sermon is called "Add It All Up." Everybody say, "Add it all up." Just add it all up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for every good gift comes from you. And we know that everything in our life, Lord, belongs, has been a gift from you. And Lord, we are stewards of it. And we thank you for all that you've trusted. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated today. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you or for you." Sometimes the circumstances of our life are not what we want them to be. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're downright bad. But we look for something to be thankful for. And I've learned that in every circumstance, it says in all circumstances, give thanks in all circumstances, because in everything there is something worth thanking the Lord about. I remember Matthew Henry one time, he wrote a big commentary. But I read his life history one time, and it talked about a time he said he was robbed at gunpoint. And he said, "Well, how can I thank God in that circumstance?" And he said, "Well, you know, I can thank God that I was the one that was robbed and I wasn't doing the robbing." Come on, somebody. Amen. So you can thank God for everything. One morning there was a lady out. She was shoveling snow out of her driveway, and her neighbor came out and said, "Where's your husband?" He said, "He's inside with the kids." "He's not out here?" "No, we drew straws to see and who was." And she, "Oh, I'm sorry. No, I won." Come on, somebody. Dr. Dale Robbins said he used to think that people complained because they had problems. He said a few years into his practice, he learned that people have problems because they complain. Colonel, good amen in this Presbyterian church. Psalm 77 says it this way: "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was" what? Overwhelmed. We were in Australia recently, and there's a guy there. Many of you may have saw him or heard him speak before, named Nick Volchik. He's from Australia. He's a young guy that was born without arms and without legs. How many think he might have something to complain about? Well, watch this little video of him. Watch this.
I wasn't ready.
I have no arms and no legs, but I'm very thankful that I have my little chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking up and waiting for other people to come down. And here I come and they're freaking out. They're like, you know, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know? And there were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, because wishing won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
And I can't feel my hands.
I love life. You know, so many people come and say, how come you smile so much? And I'm like, well, it's a long story. But it's very simple at the same time. You see, it's very hard to smile sometimes in life. There are things that happen that you don't know and you don't understand and you don't know if you're going to get through it. You know, you go through your storms in life and you don't know how long this storm is going to be. And today I want to share with you some principles that I've learned in my life that you can use in yours. Being patient is beautiful. I tell you, it's the hardest thing. But I realize I may not have hands to hold my wife's hand. But when the time comes, I'll be able to hold her heart. I don't need hands to hold her heart.
You know, it is scary to know how many girls have eating disorders. It is scary to know how many people are just angry at life because of their situation at home and angry at others.
It's scary to know how many people actually feel like they're worth nothing. Every single girl right here, right now, I want you to know that you are beautiful. You are gorgeous just the way you are. And you boys, you're the man.
Give a good clap, aren't they great? You can Google that. Philippians 2:4 says it this way. Watch this. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, one of the best ways to shine as a light in the world is don't complain. I know those of you that run a business, you know the employees you've got that complain all the time. You got some that complain continually. Others that are always not complaining. And so Paul writes, look back at the start of that again. It says, do all things without grumbling or questioning or complaining, when that you may be blameless, innocent, children without blemish in the midst of a among whom you shine as lights. How many know when people are looking at you, if you're the biggest complainer in your workplace, how many know nobody wants to be like you? So one of the questions is, you give thanks when you're eating, give thanks. I mean, on and on. So first thing is give thanks and also, now watch this. It says, first is give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Everybody says, what's the will of God for my life? Stop complaining. Yeah. You want to know one of the wills of God for your life is? Oh, if I just knew the will. Stop complaining. Won't you start there? Oh, thank you greatly. That's God's will for your life. I want to three little things that we're going to pray today. Number one is we have it so good. We have it so good. Just travel the world a little bit. We have it so good. 1 Timothy 6:7, as for the rich, and that's Americans. As for the Americans in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Let me say the first thing is, the Bible says, someone said, your mama's so poor she has to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. Come on, somebody. Or the anointing has just left, I can feel. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this age not to be arrogant. You know, one of the keys is, even if you've got, if you're rebuilding your home right now, if you're going through all that or going through some other thing, listen, the best thing is we are together. We did a wedding over the weekend, and we were way down in San Gabriel, and Friday night we were at rehearsal dinner, and we were sitting with a couple we'd never met. Found out their home had flooded, and they had, I don't forget how many kids, bunch of the kids, and four kids, and when their house flooded, they had nowhere to go, so they had to split up. They'd only been married 2 years, and they had four kids, didn't they? We won't go into that, and so they had four kids, but they had to split up, and so they'd been living apart and seeing each other off and on. How many think, you know, we got three families and five grandkids in the house. We're cozy. Come on, we're cozy. But they had to split up. How many know, if nothing else, we're together? Hey, watch this little 50-second clip. Watch this. I like this. Watch this.
Nothing like being together at the holidays.
Say we're together, would you? All right, number two is we enjoy it so much. Not only do we have it so good, we enjoy it so much. Timothy said that. When Paul wrote Timothy, rather, he said, the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but God who richly provides us with everything to what? To enjoy. How many know it's okay to enjoy what the Lord has provided? You can enjoy it. Enjoy the holiday season. God rich. But the only key is, let me just say, don't enjoy it too much. Have you ever eaten something and you ate too much? Have you ever been I had a little video, but I thought it wouldn't go over well this morning. But it says, James 1:17 says James 1:17. In John 1, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. I must have wrote that down wrong. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everybody say that. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift comes, and every perfect gift is from above. So anything, there's any good gift you've got in your life, comes from God from above. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3, he said it this way, he must manage his own household with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. If someone does not know how to manage, I don't think that's the right scripture. I must have been late last night. I was writing these things down. That's 3, 4, and 5. That's, you got the right one. I just wrote it down wrong. Let me read it this way. It says, who are become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We've ended up where we worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. You know, we come to a place where we literally need to enjoy what God's given us. But let me just say, don't go overboard. Look at 1 Timothy 6. It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us everything to enjoy. But watch this. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is what? How many know that riches is not truly life? I've done a lot of counseling in my life. I found this a lot of times people were more happy when they were sitting on two banana crates than they are sitting on this Ethan Allen, you know, $20,000 chair, wondering how they're going to pay for it. So enjoy what the Lord's given you, but just don't enjoy it too much. Really enjoy what life. Let me tell you what Thanksgiving is about. It's not about how much you can cook and get this ready and that ready. Last night we had a wedding, and after the wedding, the bride, we were in there signing, the bride was crying. And I said, why are you crying? And her husband said, why are you crying? We're about to take pictures. Don't cry. And she said, well, because when she was walking down the aisle, the pianist messed up the song. I said, no. I said, well, it's your party. Cry if you want to, you know. I said, but nobody was listening to the piano. Her father had been an LSU basketball player and real tall, and he had had some accidents, some problems, and he was in a motorized wheelchair, and he was able to walk her down the aisle. And she looked very beautiful, and Jasmine, I was in there talking to her, says, listen, nobody was listening to the piano player. They're watching you. They were watching your dad, how great it was that he was able to walk you down the aisle. And some of us do the same thing in life. We just get just pinpointing one little problem. Like, listen, if you burn the turkey, don't worry about it. Texas and Brazil is open this Thanksgiving time. All right. Proverbs says, if you found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you fill of it and vomit it. Come on, somebody. Put that on your table for Thanksgiving right there, right? Verse 17, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Look at there. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. So be moderate. Have what you do. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says it this way. And constant friction among people who are depraved of mind, depraved of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we have brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of the world. But if we found food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall in temptations, into a snare, and many senseless, harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, one guy used to preach for the lack of money. So the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Listen, what you would do is you have to enjoy it. God's given it to enjoy. Just don't overindulge. Everybody say amen. All right, number three, we express it so little. Some years ago, I loved to read Charlie Brown and, Dr. Schultz, I call him, wrote one. It was Thanksgiving week. And you see, here comes Charlie Brown out of the house with his regular bowl of dog food. And Snoopy's out by his doghouse. He says, of all things, he says, you know, here it is Thanksgiving, and all I get is dog food. And then he said, it is because I'm a dog. He said, things could be worse. I could be a turkey. Come on, somebody. I like that one. Everybody just think, you could be a turkey. I won't say some of you. Well, we'll leave right there. I was at L.A. one time. I remember reading in the Los Angeles Times, there was a little thing on the front page. They said it was a parking ticket that had been paid by someone who found the parking ticket on the side of the sidewalk. And this third category is called, we express it so little. We express our thanks so little. And on this paper, it said this person it was a $5 ticket, put a $5 bill and sent it into the DMV of L.A., and with a little note says, I found this ticket on the sidewalk. It probably blew off the car that it was put on. They probably never knew that they had gotten a ticket. But in appreciation of all the times that I have parked in the wrong place and overparked them and didn't get a ticket, I want to pay their ticket. Come on, somebody. Just want to be thankful. And so you can do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks on all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. Let me just say a few things. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because that means I got a job. Come on, somebody. Thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug. That means I have enough to eat. The shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine right now. It feels good. A lawn that needs mowing. Windows that need cleaning. Gutters that need fixing. A house that needs sheetrock. Because it means I have a home. We were in, Jack and I were in Haiti. Go to some of the homes in Haiti. All they are barks. They just got pieces of bark off trees they put on and tried to make their homes of it. There was a ministry there that was doing teaching them how to make a living. And there was a ministry there that was building chicken pens. And they were building chicken pens. They were laying a concrete foundation, putting metal sides and canvas on it, and then gave them chicks and gave them enough food for those chicks to grow up for them to sell them and then to sell them off and then replenish, buy more chicks and more food and start making a living that way. Well, Jack and I were down there. I don't know what year it was, but there was a hurricane in the Gulf that wasn't heading toward Haiti. When we got down there, it turned and hit Haiti. And we were up on the top of the mountains of Haiti, and we were up in an orphanage in Haiti when that hurricane came across the top of Haiti. Well, we talked to the guys that were doing the chicken ministry the next day and found out this. The people went and got all the chickens and put them in their bark huts, and they all got in the chicken pen. And at the end of the next day, there wasn't a chicken left, but all the people were okay. Come on, somebody say amen. Thank God I got a house, even if I got a sheet rocket and put new flooring. The spot at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I can walk. A huge heating bill means I'm warm. And all the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. There's a lot of places on earth you don't talk about them. The lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. Come on, somebody, this morning. The piles of laundry and ironing, it means my loved ones are near. They won't always be there. You go there and just your underwear and her underwear. That's it. You just take it in there and that's all you got to wash for that day. The alarm that goes off in the morning, early morning hour, because it means I'm alive. Well, somebody say add it all up. You know, a 12-year-old boy named David, I read the story of his life, was born without an immune system. He was a bubble boy, one of the many across the world. And he underwent a bone marrow transplant in order to correct a deficiency. Up to that point, he'd spent his entire life in a plastic bubble. And I remember they were interviewing before the surgery, and the surgery was successful. But they asked him, what do you want to do? What's the first thing you want to do? He said, two things. He said, I want to hold my mama's hand. And he said, I want to walk on grass without shoes. That's all he wanted to do in life. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it again. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Watch this little video, then I've got one to end up with. Watch this.
Right here. Okay, before we eat, I'd just like to say a few words. Don't worry, it's not going to take long. I'm really, really hungry, okay?
Every year on this day, I count my blessings.
And we have so much to be thankful for.
I thank the turkey, I want to thank the stuffing, the cranberry, and sweet potato pie.
Let's see,
I'm thankful that next year there'll be another one to join us.
Dad, I'm so glad to have you closer.
I want to thank my mom for having such a wonderful son.
Most importantly, for the closeness of our friends and family.
I should be thankful every day to have you guys in my life. And I am. I just don't tell you guys enough.
I feel lucky every day.
45 years and 45 turkeys later, this day is always so special.
So let's be grateful for this food.
For this wonderful feast.
This incredible year.
And for each other.
I love all of you.
Love you too, man. Who's
home? You know, if you notice, they really just thanked each other. But you know, the one that we need to thank the most is the Lord. Amen. Last night we did the wedding. I did the promise. And, you know, do you promise to love her, to cherish her, leaving all others cleave only unto her, to be all things true? And I was thinking, I remember I told you the story, Benny, some months ago. Our three-year-old grandson at the time Jennifer was teaching him about the power and the permanence of a promise. When you make a promise, you don't break it. When mom and dad promise you something and you make a promise, you don't break it. And that next day, he wanted to watch something on TV, and Jennifer said, no, you can't. You've watched enough. And he said, I have to watch it. And she said, why do you have to watch? Because I promised myself. Come on, somebody. So last night we're doing this wedding, I was thinking, you know, you're not just promising each other, and you're not just promising, even though that's the key, and you're promising the ones we're listening, you're promising God. And so our Thanksgiving and our week ought to be a thankfulness to God. And one of my favorite videos that I saved on my place was called by Hezekiah Walker. It said, I think it's called All Praise Be to Our God. And so I don't have many of you seen it, but we're going to end with this morning. This is Hezekiah Walker, and this is a flash mob out in the streets.
Put your hands together.
Woo! It's who I got.
Come on, give him a great clap off. Well, how many of you know CNN won't be covering that? Bow your heads. Father, we just give this week to you. We thank you for a great Thanksgiving ahead. Lord, we just pray it be one of the greatest Thanksgiving of our lives. When we let everything and every fiber of our being, Lord, just be to worship and to praise you and to be thankful to you. And we give you thanks. And everybody said amen today. Give them a great clap offering, would you? All right, turn around and give somebody a good hug today.